Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 172 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin in some entertainment talk with some TV news, mostly centered around the recent Emmys, a little bit of movie news, and then we're going to move over into tech, where we've got a lot of topics this week. We've got some recent comments from Edward Snowden and the Project Raven, and then we've got a couple different crypto and NFT stories, an update to the Apple and Epic fight, some deepfake news, and a whole bunch of space between Amazon and SpaceX. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
And welcome back to episode 172, version 2.
Yeah, for those that don't follow our Twitter, Facebook, or in the group, we missed our first show last week. Not because we didn't record it, but because during editing processes,
Our audio engineer had a boo-boo.
Yeah.
Whoever that guy is.
The ones and zeros got disappeared real fast. So you missed out on some good references, some jokes that aren't going to make it on this show. I had an awesome Stay Tuned reference that I pulled out of my ass that I'm really regretting isn't going to ever get aired.
I was hoping you were actually going to relive it so then I can throw it back to the fact that you mentioned it, and I watched Stay Tuned, which is
on
Amazon Prime, and I watched it this week. I watched nothing. I haven't watched anything. I haven't watched Why the Last Man yet. I haven't watched any of the new shit, but no, I went and watched Stay Tuned this last week because, man, that's just great. It's just... It's so much better now in 2021, I think.
And it's so funny because anybody listening right now has no context for why we give a shit about this movie right now.
Like, but just trust us.
Yeah.
It worked beautifully into an analogy
of
some off-the-cuff comments that Steve pulled out of his ass. And if you don't know what Stay Tuned is as the movie, I know you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, or your mom and dad is. Go steal a password.
Someone's got Prime.
And go watch that nostalgic gem that is Stay Tuned with some John Ritter out there.
So yeah, unfortunately, we missed an episode. Is out of 172, we skipped a beat. I think it was a good run. I think it was a good streak. You know, it happens to the best of podcasts. So we're just going to keep trucking along now and fuck that perfect attendance. I never had perfect attendance in school.
All right. Well, let's just jump right into it. And, you know, the first thing to jump into is a little bit of your own personal attendance this week. And let's just hear it. Dump all of your nerd love for Neil deGrasse Tyson and your experience there. Let's hear it.
Shit. So I recently went and saw a lecture by Neil deGrasse Tyson. It was his first one in 18 months. Chicago was first on his list. Due to the fact that I'm a Chase Sapphire card holder, I had first direct access to tickets. Well, really, like credit, like the lowest of good credit to get it. So because I had early access to the tickets, I thought to myself, you know, how often do you get to see Neil deGrasse Tyson speak? It's definitely going to be a cool story. At the time, I had a good day in crypto. I'm not gonna lie, like I was feeling myself. So I spent a shit ton of money on tickets that really, when the lady sat me down in our seats, I felt really ignorant at the time. I was like, bro, these seats are really ignorant. Like I shouldn't have got these. We're talking front row, dead center, seat one and two in the aisle, right in front of
smelling,
his stool.
Smelling his feet as he's sitting
literally,
on the
floor. Literally, he took off his shoes.
Of
I could smell his feet. He took his shoes off. He was walking around barefoot. I could smell this fucking shit. Like, this dude.
I didn't know that he took off his feet. That was just a joke. I didn't.
It was really odd that you said that, actually, because
I remember
him taking off his shoes, and I was like, damn, this dude's just taking off his shoes and walking around barefoot. This is crazy. And I looked over at Anthony. I was like, we going to be able to smell Neil deGrasse Tyson's feet. So he gives he has 18 different lectures that he can do. And he showed us all the different topics. And we got cosmic collisions. So it was all about black holes when they touch each other, asteroids, comets, like all kinds of, just anytime something in outer space crashes into something else, we talked about it and what happens. And it was really cool. They had some 3D renderings and time-lapse models made by NASA and all, you know, all these astrophysicists. It was really, really interesting. The next show,
that though, to me is wild though, that it gives you a roulette of 18 different shows that are college lectures that people paying $50,000 a year are skipping intentionally just because they didn't want to wake up that morning. You know what I mean? Like, all across the country, well, there are lectures on these things.
I don't think all of them are college lectures, because the one that was going on in Indianapolis at his next show, I really wish he'd have gave in Chicago, because it was an astrophysicist goes to the movies, where all he does is shit on movies for their scientific. Oh, no,
that would have been your wheelhouse.
100%. Oh my God. Like, yeah, like when that was even an option, I was just like, oh my God. Like, how?
Oh my God. Are we going to talk about Endgame? Are we going to shit on Endgame together? Am I going to shit on Endgame with Neil deGrasse Tyson?
I was really debating on buying tickets and driving the 3 hours in Indianapolis just to go see that fucking show. Because he's like, oh, that's the one we're doing next. And I was like, ah, oh, bro. Like, bro. He's like, but no, we're going to talk about cosmic collisions. So the hour and a half lecture was really good. After the lecture, they throw everyone out of the auditorium except for the 40 people with VIP access. And he proceeded to sit down and do a Q&A and tell a couple cool stories and things like that. Not going to lie, had my hand up like a third grader that knew that multiplication answer, boy, waving, like holding my elbow up because my arm is so heavy. like I was trying.
Getting every bit of the 6 foot, whatever the hell you are, frame.
Dude probably looked at me and moved past and called the person behind me 7 times. like so blatantly looked dead at me and was like, fuck this old rich dude in the front row. Like, he doesn't get to ask a question. I'm gonna ask this poor principal or kid over here. So needless to say, I'm getting quite frustrated and upset that I'm getting vastly overlooked by Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is sitting literally 2 feet from me. Like, literally 2 feet from me. Like, I know you see me, Neil. I fucking know you see me. So at the last question, I'm like, he's like, all right, and last question, you know, and I'm like, this is my only shot. You know, so boom, hand goes up, and I just, hey man, I give him the old, hey man, I know you see me here.
No, you're saying it way more confident right now than you were before. I'm assuming in my head, I'm really thinking it's more like, hey man, it's really.
No, I had.
It's way more pathetic than what you're doing right now.
Really deep inflection. I made sure I echoed through that auditorium. I have witnesses. It was a solid, hey man. And finally, he just caved and literally said, like, all right, you in the front. like, totally, totally defeated Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I got to ask him a question about how he felt about the privatization of space, because that's something we talk about on the show quite often. So I wanted to ask him, you know, how he felt about space moving towards more privatization and how he felt that was going to affect innovation now that it had a profit motive rather than a science-based problem-solving motive that we've gotten all the innovation from in the past. And despite how you feel about space privatization, Neil deGrasse Tyson does not agree with you, sir. Whatsoever. Because I said, you know, are the more altruistic science-based pursuit. And he said, there's nothing altruistic about space. We only go to outer space because of war. And I was like, damn. Like, he's like, first time we did it, all we gave a shit about was the Cold War with Russia. That's the only reason why we went there. The only reason why we're gonna ever go back to the moon is if China builds a moon base on there, and then we'll hurry up and rush our ass to the moon. He's like, yeah, there's gonna be private companies that we outsource our space travel to like SpaceX and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but space will never be profitable. There's nothing up there worth anything to anybody. The only reason why we're ever going to go up there is either to explore or to, or it's going to be war based, and that will always
or to
be
weaponize
funded,
it. Yeah.
And that will always be funded by the government. And that will, in whether we or not we subcontract it to a private company or we do it ourselves, it's always going to be funded by your tax dollars. And I was like, I was quite taken back by that. I couldn't believe that.
All right.
Well,
all right.
While I asked that question, he also did ask me, because I premised the question with that we had a podcast and we often talk about space on our show. He asked why he hasn't been on the show yet, to my great dismay. Like,
because you don't read our tweets and you don't answer our emails, Neil. That's why.
That's kind of exactly what I said. Like, he caught me quite off guard. I was like, you know, we have a podcast, and like before I can even get the question out, he goes, "Why haven't you had me on our podcast?" Like borderline salty about it, bro. Like, I was really taken off guard by that. And I was just like, well, you know, I assume you're a busy man, and I tweet at you incessantly. And like when I told him I tweeted at him incessantly, like the crowd behind me was just like, oh. And Neil got kind of defensive, you know. He's like, yeah, you and my 14 million followers. So I was just like, oh, okay. Like,
see, that's why we have you.
I was like, see, you're a busy man. I'm trying to respect your time, you know. And then he asked me for me to write it down. I didn't have a pencil to write it down. Nobody had a pencil to write our podcast down. But luckily, Tony next to me was wearing a Nerd Cantina shirt. Neil deGrasse Tyson pulled out his phone, took a picture of Tony's smiling ass in a Nerd Cantina shirt, and said he'd get back to us.
Well, at least somebody represented the podcast well, because you fucking punted it into the stands there.
Yeah, like I was not prepared. I thought I was really prepared for everything. I had my question already. He really caught me off guard with that whole be on the podcast shit. Like, I was not prepared for Neil deGrasse Tyson to give a shit about us at all whatsoever. But the show is great. I encourage anybody that has an opportunity to go see shows like this. This is the second intellectual lecture that I've gone to. Both have just been amazing experiences to sit and listen to brilliant men talk about, or women. I just haven't seen women, but I guess brilliant women also.
I just don't pay for that. You sexist person. Look at you. You're the worst.
But I do encourage everybody to go see these shows. I've seen Richard Dawkins in the past, Eric Weinstein, and now Neil deGrasse Tyson, and all of them have been amazing experiences. So with that, I guess we'll get to our weekly news, but that was my Sunday night. It was amazing.
Let's see how much we get through here. But
it's too good of a story not to share with our audience.
I 100%. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I don't care to talk about anything else, but we'll do it anyway. Let's jump into it. A little bit of entertainment news here. Just some quick things. You know, we're going to recap a little bit about what we missed from last week. First, we could just talk quickly. Hawkeye trailer? Interested?
It exists.
Not?
It exists.
It exists.
It's there.
It looks interesting in a Die Hardy kind of way.
Like, yeah. I mean, they invoked Action Christmas, and you can't invoke Action Christmas without all the Die Hard feels.
Yeah, but it shows, I guess some decent connection there between Jeremy Renner.
They're filling in all the pieces for Young Avengers, yeah. And they're going to make my comic go through the roof, so I'm here for it. You know,
yeah, absolutely. And that's the big takeaway from it is they are building that younger cast out, getting ready for what has to be Young Avengers at some point in time. Like it's not officially on any slate anywhere for Marvel, but you've got to see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I know what you're up to, motherfuckers. I see you. I see you.
So, you know, yeah, we've got the Hawkeye, we've got Miss Marvel, we've got all kinds of, like, we know where you're going, so that's fine. Keep introducing these characters. Let's get to Young Avengers. Should be a good time.
Speaking of nerd shows.
Yeah, let's do a quick talk. We won't go in depth because, for the most part, not a lot played in the realm of the things I personally care about. Maybe, you watch way more than I do. But Emmys happened, and, you know, we were talking about this season, you know, a couple of months ago when the nominations came out, we really talked about, hey, you know, these nerd shows, they're doing well going into the Emmys. We had WandaVision with 18 nominations, Mandalorian with 23. We had The Boys with a, you know, more than a dozen. I don't remember the exact number. But a lot of, you know, phenomenal shows in the nerd genre being well represented in nominations. Now, if you just look at victories, they didn't do so well.
Well, in the major categories, like they did okay. Like they took home some gold.
They did. So you're right. You know, there were a couple wins for like the Mandalorian for special visual effects.
Mandalorian won 7 Creative Arts Emmys.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
but like that's Creative Arts ones. That's not the ones that they even put on TV, right? That's the ones that, like, as it's going to commercial break, somewhere next to the ass cream is the names of the people
working on a green screen right now saying, fuck
I know,
you,
I love
pal.
You, man.
Fuck you.
You did a great job. I appreciate you for listening. Your work's phenomenal, but you didn't make it to primetime.
you know, WandaVision, WandaVision got 3. You know, like, someone's got to make the costumes,
they got 3.
Man. Someone's
they got 3 for
costumes.
The best thing ever, which was for the Agatha All Along song. Yeah. Like, WandaVision's going to win for anything, the Agatha All Along song is what they should win for. So that's one of their 3 there. Got it. And
hey, when they put the award on the mantle, it looks just like everyone else's. Like, that dude's getting laid by that drunk girl from the bar when he brings her home, no matter what. She doesn't know that award wasn't on primetime. They don't give give the non-primetime ones like the mini Emmy versions. Like, they give it, like, it's like 1/3 scale.
No, it just but you can't tell from like the 2D TV, but when you pick it up, it's actually standing on top of an asterisk. Like, it's 100% not real. But ultimately, like, they did well. They represented our nerd world well. These shows aren't going away. They're eventually going to get critical acclaim and everything else. See, there were some really good shows that did beat them out. Like, you know, in the end was, you know, WandaVision and, you know, Olsen kind of beat out, you know, the lead for Queen's Gambit and some of these other shows that had a huge year, huge success in these kind of series. No, they probably didn't deserve it necessarily. Deserved the nominations, not maybe quite there for the wins, I guess.
I don't know. Like, I'm looking over at the Outstanding Drama Series right now, and, like, I don't watch The Crown. It could be a great show, but, like, there's,
you just,
like,
want
some
Handmaids to win, don't you? You wanted,
well,
Handmaids to win.
Handmaids could win. This Is Us could win. Mandalorian could have won. Man, they had The Boys up there. Like,
yeah, The Boys was never winning the Outstanding Drama Show.
Oh, they ain't giving The Boys shit.
Never gonna
they ain't
be
giving
a
The
thing.
Boys shit. I'm still just grateful that show exists. I'm still just grateful it exists. It has the award of my heart. It needs nothing other. But, like, no, nah, man,
yeah, I've never seen The Crown. I don't know. I hear it's great.
The one show that I was really happy won a bunch of awards was Ted Lasso. That I do really enjoy that show. I think everybody should give it a shot. It's very, man, I don't know what to, like, kind-hearted just comes to mind. Like, I don't know what other word to substitute that with. It's just, you get warm feels anytime you watch that show and you laugh.
I don't know anybody who's seen it that doesn't enjoy it. I also just know that it's on Apple TV Plus, so
there's no plus. It's just Apple.
Whatever it is.
It's just Apple.
Is it just
TV.
Apple TV?
Yeah.
Everything's got a plus.
It's no.
Everything's
there's
a
no plus.
Plus.
There's no
everything's
plus.
Everything's a plus. All right. Well, whatever it happens to be, Ted Lasso does seem great. Good for Jason Sudeikis and for that show. But next year, maybe we'll get some major victories.
We
for
have
now,
the complete
let's take
list
costumes
of winners
and music
and, losers
and things
in the show notes. So if you want, click that link. Take it to the Cantina group. Argue with everybody else on what you think should have won. I'm sure everybody's got an opinion. I don't know who watches the fucking Crown, though. So,
all right, let's keep moving on. We got one last thing here in entertainment, and that's Christopher Nolan. He dropped a kind of big news in the realm that he's talking to multiple studios about directing a movie about Robert Oppenheimer and the creation of the atomic bomb, and he's not doing that through through his home studio there.
Yeah, I think after having to fight for Tenet and seeing the way that the WB is just throwing everything on HBO Max, I don't think he wants to chance it. And he's a firm believer in the quality of cinema and seeing things on the big screen. And he wants to make sure his films are viewed the way he wants them viewed. And he doesn't trust a studio that is clearly gives no fucks yep. about what the directors intend to, you to see. So he's moving on. He's moving on.
Yep, 100%. He is moving on, and you know, I'm sure none of us will be surprised later when he goes with a studio that doesn't have a streaming service attached to them. That is a studio that is pretty well tied to the fact that they need the theaters to survive and doesn't have a partnership with an online streaming service.
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
All right.
We got to move to tech. We got a lot in here.
Tech. We do have a stupid amount of tech. All right. let's jump into a little bit of tech here with the Edward Snowden's. We got a couple talks with Edward Snowden. First one up is a PSA coming really from Edward Snowden, one that I kind of support here in the fact that Edward Snowden urged everybody to stop using ExpressVPN. And ExpressVPN is one of the largest VPNs in the world, in the US, as far as what people use. It's got a big brand recognition. Half the sponsored podcasts in the damn world have an ExpressVPN plug in it. And
yeah, every podcast be trying to sell that ExpressVPN.
100%.
Except for us. They don't give a shit. They don't want no ad space on this show.
Yeah, like and share. Like and share, guys. What we get with the ExpressVPN, it hit the news a couple weeks ago about really the first that ExpressVPN was bought by an Israeli cybersecurity company, and people really kind of looked at that sideways as an Israeli cybersecurity company buying a VPN service that's kind of tied to the government. Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Like, if you're doing a VPN, aren't you ultimately looking for complete separation from any kind of entity? You want to be completely private and secure, and that's why you think you go with VPNs. But then Edward Snowden piles on this week and urges people to also. He just essentially put into a tweet initially that if you're an ExpressVPN customer, you shouldn't be. And he left it at that for a little while and then explained on a little later and really goes into the fact that it's more than just the fact that the cybersecurity company in the Israeli cybersecurity company bought ExpressVPN, is now the owner, but also really looks at the fact that the CIO for ExpressVPN was involved as an operative or involved in some way with Project Raven. And we're going to get to Project Raven here in a minute because that's its own interesting story. But essentially, Project Raven did many things in the cyber world that Edward Snowden doesn't condone. We're talking about extreme government overreach and everything else. And ultimately, the company now is backed by a government, ran by an individual who was kind of the pawn in spying for governments. So if you're a big believer in VPNs, you know, one of the big problems with VPNs are, yes, they can do things privately for you, right? You can shelter it. You can stick your IP through that tunnel of the VPN and conceal your IP going beyond. But you better trust that tunnel that you're diving into, because whoever owns that VPN then sees everything that you do. And that's the big problem. That's the PSA. So know the VPNs you're in. If you're going to do one, make sure you're going through one that's trusted, that is routed through a country that you could trust to not acquire that data and that information that it's going through, and maybe one that isn't ran by a spy.
I don't know if that country exists. I don't know if that country exists. You might as well use a VPN in Westeros, motherfucker. I don't think that place exists.
All right, but. So I had this story chosen to talk about this week, and then Steve came out of nowhere with a story about Project Raven, which gives greater clarity on why we should probably give a shit about the CIO. I'll let you
I heard about this story through another podcast that I listened to, and when I heard them going over the story, I thought to myself, why haven't we talked about this yet? We talk about everything involved in this fucking story, but we didn't get the overall glaring big picture of it. So for the last decade, the CIA has been training people to hack all kinds of systems, internet devices, the Nest cameras and everything. We've been training people to do that. Well, we didn't really think in the long game of that, because once they're done working for the CIA, they take those skills and they get hired by whoever the fuck wants to pay them a shit ton of money. And this Project Raven, once people left it, many were hired by a company called Dark Matter, who is ran by the UAE, the United Arab Emirates. So there's a room, I think, I can't remember what it was called, where they housed all these people in Abu Dhabi. And literally all they did was hack dissidents, hack anybody looking to cause any kind of trouble, anyone that was going to go against the UAE, anyone. They took all these skills. Many of the stories that we've covered, some of them, the Nest cameras getting hacked, that was Dark Matter. They didn't give a shit. Even one of the people they interview in this, one of the ex-CIA people that went over to Dark Matter, even was quoted as saying, like, yeah, I'm the bad kind of spy now. Like, he had no fucks given about it. I working for the CIA was cool, and I'm glad they taught me all this shit, but they pay me good money. So fuck everybody else. And yeah, they're just taking all these tools that our government funded and our government taught them, and going to become, heads of ExpressVPN operatives for the UAE, and God only knows. Well, these are like the ones we know, right? These are the ones that me and you dipshits can fucking find out about. God only knows where some of these other motherfuckers are.
Yeah, and I know if you're listening to this right now, you're probably thinking, talking about CIA and spies and Dark Matter Underground. It sounds very much like the YouTube algorithm has got Steve locked up in some conspiracy theory. So I will say,
I heard this on a reputable news program.
I will say, you can read this on the article that we have up in the show notes. You can go find it over at thenerdcantina.com/show172. It's an actual, really long, really well written piece by Reuters. It's a very strong investigated journalist article there. This isn't just some conspiracy theory. Yeah,
just because I dumb it down and put it in Cliff Notes doesn't mean that this shit ain't real, bro.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure. You just can't tell these days. So I just want to make sure everyone knows. If you want to go read the article, it is fascinating, the depth in which that they kind of investigate and pull out on here, and the different briefings, the different things that they have, and really, I think they've been in operation since 2014. And there's a lot of examples of things that they did against ISIS operatives and things that they did to target. So some things that you'd agree with, and then some things you're kind of like, oh, all right. That's a bit of an overreach there. But all coming out of UAE, which I guess is the Wild West for cyber operatives there. But we can keep moving with one more Snowden story. This is another one from last week, but real quickly, it just talks about, we've got a couple crypto stories. So we'll open it up with Edward Snowden last week talking about urging other nations to get on board and embrace Bitcoin. So last week we had the El Salvador adoption of Bitcoin about 2 weeks ago. Last week, there's other countries that are talking about it, and really, Snowden's just urging people, hey, just get on board. To some level, it's not going to be a full adoption across countries or whatever else, but to some level, countries should probably have a certain reserve amount in cryptocurrency. Should probably do something to hedge their bets against their own currency to stabilize the digital currency across the board, and believes that, the concept of, game theory, that, once one person does it, everybody's going to feel left out and rush to it, and it's going to cause problems. Just start to embrace it, start to adopt it, start to bring it in as a viable currency going forward. Now, I will say, This is September 21st that we're recording this, and there was a hell of a day for crypto, and it crashed. You were talking about earlier when you were talking about buying, you bought the Neil tickets because you had a good day in crypto, and I was thinking like, oh shit, yeah. You wouldn't have seen Neil if it was today when those tickets went on sale.
No, Neil wouldn't have been able to look past me if I sold them tokens today.
But in the end, Snowden urging people to embrace Bitcoin specifically, but Bitcoin is the leader in the crypto industry as a whole.
Honestly, I would expect a man who's had all his accounts frozen and can't live in any place other than Russia to embrace a digital currency that is decentralized from all world governments.
He's just getting tired of not being able to walk into a currency exchange and be able to actually do real shit.
Like Snowden urges to embrace Bitcoin, and like in my head I'm just going, duh. no shit.
Well, of course.
If that dude could legally change his name to one of those fucking 80 character wallet codes, he fucking would. If he could, he would put down his license, would have a picture of his face in one of them fucking QR codes. Like that's it.
I would too, by the way. Let's do that with our licenses and stuff.
Now that I said that, the off topic, what's the year where someone officially names their kid a QR code?
We'd have to Google it. I'd be surprised if it didn't happen already. Really? I'd be surprised right now if some kid didn't have just a QR code on their
legal
birth certificate.
Name is a QR code?
Yeah. I'll say 2020. That's the year. Everything else fucked.
I'm going 2026. All right.
Let's move on. We got some other crypto stories that I really want to talk about because
I love this one.
I'm fascinated by crypto, and
I love this one.
Right now, this next one is Snoop. So Snoop Dogg's come out, and he has admitted to the fact that there's a pseudo anonymous crypto Twitter personality that I guess is pretty well known in the NFT space, named, what is it, Cosimo de Medici. Snoop.
Snoop. The only thing I can think of, like, when I read that, the first thing I was like, God damn, do I want to smoke a blunt with this dude. How fucking high was he when he came up with this fucking pseudonym? I need to smoke a blunt with Snoop. I don't even want to smoke a blunt with Snoop anymore. I want to smoke a blunt with Cosimo. I wouldn't even call him Snoop the entire time. Better pass that shit, Cosimo. Babysitting that. So, fucking scavenger. That was a half-baked reference for those who don't know. But yeah, dude's got $17 million worth of Ethereum NFTs, which they also have to, like, including 9 CryptoPunks, which are like ungodly amounts of money. Like,
yeah, because the vast majority of people are like, okay, I don't know what that means. And you say CryptoPunks, you're like, oh, okay. At least I've heard of CryptoPunks. So he's got 9 CryptoPunks. He's got a bunch of other projects that are pretty well known. But apparently, yeah, he's been amassing a fair amount of various NFT projects that are all they're all pretty well supported projects as far as the ones that it seems that he's holding. And he seems to just know what he's doing in that space. Like, he's got a pretty good understanding, a pretty good pulse of what is popular, what is still moving up in value, getting them somewhat early, and then just building this ridiculous portfolio of $17 million worth of NFTs. So, I mean, I don't know how you get any better than Snoop at this point. This is one of my favorites. As somebody who is, I just bought my own first real NFT.
I own a bunch.
Last week.
I own a bunch.
Yeah. I did. It's true. I did buy that Spider-Man one a couple months ago at this point in time. So that's a lie. I bought my first NFT avatar.
I own one of every Marvel's first official NFT comic books. I own a whole bunch of those little mighties. Like, I have friends' NFTs because I support the game. So I have some friends' NFTs. Like, I'm all about that life. Well, before we move away from the story and I'm allowed to talk about marijuana, though, I do want to pivot into one into one funny thing from Neil deGrasse Tyson. When he did mention that everybody was dressed well, and I made sure to call attention to my Mike Tyson's Punch-Out / Neil deGrasse Tyson crossover shirt that I was wearing, which is quite epic, and he did not appreciate whatsoever. Because he made sure the lady behind me had a nice Neil deGrasse Tyson shirt. He made sure to point out that hers was licensed memorabilia merchandise.
Yeah.
And mine 100% was unlicensed.
He knows what's on his website, and that is not on his website.
He went out of his way to make sure he to let me know my shit. My shit was an unlicensed Neil deGrasse Tyson shirt. To my surprise, though, the person sitting next to the other shirt he referenced had a big marijuana leaf shirt with like a space nebula in the background of like the marijuana leaves. So it was like a galaxy shaped like a marijuana leaf. And for some reason, Neil just decided to, "Sir, is that a cannabis galaxy shirt I see you're wearing?" And he was like, "Why, yes, Neil, it is a cannabis galaxy." He was like, "Huh." Like, that was it. That was it. Like, but he made sure to let 50 people in the room know that he noticed dude was wearing a space weed shirt and he enjoyed that. Like, so I know where my mind went when that happened. So there is a new person on my all-time list of people I'd like to smoke weed with, because I'm pretty sure Neil gets down.
I like that you forgot to mention that earlier, and you've been sitting here for 40 minutes waiting for a chance to jump in.
I got something locked and loaded for the end credits of the show that I can't work in into any of these stories, so I'm going to work it into the end.
Stay tuned. let's keep moving along then. But cryptocurrency, NFT stuff. I do want to. I'm gonna plug something else that I'm excited about. I'm gonna say that I have gotten weirdly into this seedy underground of this one NFT project that's gonna release here in a couple of months, Toddler Pillars, which will haunt your dreams.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. The artwork is great. I actually love this project and the community over on Discord and stuff as they're building this out, and the NFT is gonna launch in November. And we're going to have a Cantina conversation with the founder of the NFT project, the guy who's heading the NFT project, and the artist, Tim Malloy, who's doing all the illustrations. We're going to interview them here on the show for the Nerd Cantina conversation coming up. And I'm excited for this because I just want to learn a little bit about NFTs, and I want to find out the deranged mind that's drawing all these six-armed babies.
I'm not going to lie. I sit up for a decent amount of time throughout my day thinking of a unique trait that I can suggest for the Toddler Pillar.
And they're getting way more unique. Like the one, I don't know if you saw. People, you got to go check these things out. Yeah, the one today was NFTs, Ronald McDonald, Bob Ross.
All different variations of these Toddler Pillars. And they take suggestions on the way they can vary it, what they're holding, what they're wearing, what they have on, the colors, and blah, blah, blah. So they take open suggestions, and that thread is a gem.
Oh yeah, you at this point in time, you've got to come with your A game. Like, it cannot be something mundane. Like I said, today was Bob Ross, Ronald McDonald, Pennywise mashup coming out of the chest of a toddler. So in case you think you could just like suggest something normal,
yeah,
you're not getting it.
Don't come with like, you know, can they wear AirPods? That ain't gonna make it. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this interview. It's definitely a cool project. It's part of the NFT scene that is taking over kind of the art world, and the way that they pioneer their fan base and promote their NFT sales through Discord and the community they build with it. It's very similar to what we've been doing with our community and our private Facebook group. They kind of do some very similar thing in groups. growing their NFTs. So it should be a great interview. It'll be very informative for anybody looking to understand the NFT community or looking to get into it.
All right, let's go with some less optimistic news.
Throw a dart at some of these stories and get through them.
Yeah, all right. Ready? Speed round. We're never good at speed round. We're never good when we try to go to speed round.
But we never mean it. We never mean it.
All right. Quick of it. Treasury has unleashed its first real sanctions on any kind of cryptocurrency exchange. What we get is the U.S. Treasury has identified a cryptocurrency exchange that is based out of Mother Russia and has put sanctions that U.S. exchanges cannot work or deal with this company because they are known as a very, very prevalent, like we're talking about greater than 50% of all ransomware is being ran through this exchange.
I don't look at this exchange. I don't know if this is a bad thing. Crypto. I don't look at this as an attack on crypto. I look at this as good policing. You know, like
So this is the big one. You know, any real decentralized finance people are going to say like, oh, this is the government getting their hands into our DeFi world, our crypto space. To some degree, you're right. But if you really ever want to legitimize this in the future and allow for mass adoption, you need it in countries like the United States, and it's never going to be mass adopted if people can't trust the systems. And this is how you get a little bit of trust. There's got to be some level of regulation.
This isn't overreach. This is like when I let my kid play in the mud, but I just don't let him eat it. You know, you can get dirty. You can roll around in it. Just don't put it in your fucking mouth. Don't put it in your mouth. Like, I got to stop you somewhere.
All right. I mean, I'm now just trying to figure out how this analogy works. this applies. I'm not
crypto's
in a speed round. In a speed round, I don't have time to figure it out.
The government's the parent not letting you eat your dirt.
So Suez is the Russian exchange the dirt that goes in the mouth?
It's the ransomware. You eating the ransomware. That's the dirt. Like, don't look too deep into it, okay, motherfucker?
I told you, it's speed round. We don't have time to get into it. Just everybody else, just let it breathe in you. Bring it to the cantina conversations if you want. Yeah, it's all fine.
Good. It works. It works.
All right, let's go with next story. We've got Apple is no longer allowed to force developers to use the in-store or in-app store purchases for their products. So this is the
big follow-up.
Yeah, I don't
think we can speed round this one either because we've talked about this like 8 times.
I know.
Like, all right. you just can't gloss over a story. It's like episode 8 of a 8-part fucking story that we've been doing. Finally, there's some conclusion. We're just gonna be like, hey, y'all, it ended. Apple can't force Epic to go through the App Store. It's just done. Peace out. All right. Next story.
I mean, that was a pretty decent summary of the ruling.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought about it. That's pretty much it.
I guess we could give a quick rundown back for people who haven't listened to the other 8 episodes, but ultimately, Epic's been fighting with Apple over, intentionally getting themselves thrown out of the App Store for Fortnite because they tried to sell their V-Bucks directly to consumers with essentially a website to take them out of the App Store and give them bonuses for not purchasing through the App Store. They got banned. They knew it was going to happen. They had a lawsuit set for the next day to sue Apple about it because this is the fight they wanted to have, and this is the fight they thought they were going to be able to win, was to tell Apple, essentially, go fuck yourself. Stop stealing 30% of every dollar that comes through the App Store when the creators are the ones that are building the ecosystem. Yes, you've given us a place to find customers, to find our community, but that doesn't mean you own 30% of it forever. That's what Epic wins. And in the end, Apple's going to be just fine. But yes, these video games and stuff like that, they can allow you to route and purchase V-Bucks, purchase in-game add-ons and all that stuff outside of the App Store now.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add. I think we can go.
All right. Shit. I wasn't prepared to actually do a speed run. do you want to talk about AI-generated influencer? Sure.
Yes, because this is AI, great. This is great.
It is great. It is.
I fucking hate influencers.
I do too. But although, isn't that what we're trying to do? I don't know. Social media influencer was created entirely by artificial intelligence. It's just a piece of AI that was able to gain themselves tens of thousands of followers and get sponsorship for what are just completely fake AI generated videos of this And it's not like this AI-generated person is doing AI interesting things. No, it's like just living a normal life just happens to be an AI person.
I love that we've done multiple stories on robots are coming to take your job, right? Like we've talked about it. Robots are coming to take your job. But fucking Sapphire with the verified Twitter and Instagram account didn't think that she was her bikini booty pics were going to get taken by a goddamn AI and robot. You know, like, I love the fact that, yeah, all these shitty fake humans have to worry about shitty fake computers taking their fucking influencer jobs. And just to say the word influencer again, we're not influencers. We're informers, son. Like, we are not trying to be influencers. We are just trying to be informers.
All right. Fair enough. But yeah, so you got to kind of check out this article and stuff and see how realistic, like, these photos look of this person in her cute little dress drinking, you know, some fruity drink on a beach and all that stuff. It's all fake. And this person has been sponsored.
Of course, they like modeled it after like a K-pop star. So they're going after,
I know, it's
like all,
it's
like
terrible.
Like, man, bravo. Like, that AI knew what it was doing to get all of the likes, all of the smashes, all of the simps. There's mad, like, there's a whole bunch of simps right now goggling, like shit. Like, what makes me really laugh is there's probably 5,000 DMs from some Indian dude in this fucking AI's fucking mailbox just going, show bobs. I can see bobs.
I mean, yes, but I will say she's already landed, and we're calling her she because I don't know what else to call the robot. But this AI has already landed over 100 sponsorships and has made over $850,000 US dollars, 1 billion Korean dollars, but $850,000 US by the end of the year.
And again, that statement does not make us feel good about our place in the world right now.
I was just about to say, like, we are working here on this podcast. Did you hear a sponsor on this episode?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. Who the fuck heads our marketing department? Someone fire that asshole.
All right. Depression over. Let's keep rolling. Oh, man, another story that I just can't skip past, but scammers, deepfakes. We talk about a lot of deepfakes. This one was just a really interesting timing for this article to come out as we really had a personal example we were going to bring to the show anyway. And it's that, you know, we're starting to see, we've talked about the negative side of deepfakes. We did an entire Cantina conversation with somebody that enlightened us into how prevalent it already was in 2019 when we did that episode, how prevalent it already was for non-consensual porn and people taking their ex-girlfriends and sticking them in porn and sharing it all over the place and stuff like that. Like,
cheerleader mom was the best story we did.
Oh, yeah. Cheerleader mom getting the kid kicked off of the cheer squad, like deep faking her into her smoking cigarettes and drinking at parties so that way she would get kicked off the cheerleading
and in
team.
Sexual situations, and she deep faked minors into sexual situations, so she's actually getting charged with creating child pornography.
Yeah,
like such an epic fail.
All because her daughter wasn't the cheer captain, right? Like there's a movie in there somewhere.
Good job, Susan.
And so what we get is, you know, more deepfake videos and stuff becoming more and more lifelike to the point that they're being used in actual scams to encourage people to give you money, to clone somebody that you might have known asking for money, to clone celebrities, to ask for, you know, donations to a charity or donations to a certain link. Like, all of these are in the realm of where deepfakes are going.
Yep. Got it again. Nailed it around the head. Deepfakes bad. Like,
all right. And then,
this is one I don't think I could speed through because I really, and this is what makes me
Facebook.
Really,
all right, so Facebook's
makes me
got
really
a set.
Mad. This makes me really mad.
Facebook's got a program for VIPs. They say this program doesn't exist anymore, right? At least not on the same level. But it was found that Facebook had this program for VIPs called CrossCheck, which was a way for a certain amount of, and we're talking about like tens of thousands of verified accounts that they just said, the rules don't apply to them. Like, things that would get that a normal person ban don't apply to them because the backlash would be too high. You know, if the president or if somebody, some senator or a major celebrity got banned because they said something that was construed against their policies, that backlash would be too huge. So they kind of like whitelisted a bunch of people through this cross-check program. And that's come out. Like some of the more like damning ones is apparently there's a big soccer player, Neymar, who like literally a woman accused him of sexual assault and he shared like actual nudes of her on Facebook, trying to like accuse her and saying that like, I didn't sexually assault you or whatever else. You sent me these nudes and whatever else, like really and put that out there. And Facebook didn't block that, like didn't even remove the video because and. You share a meme that might have something that looks like an areola, and you're banned for a week in Facebook world.
Someone shared a story about Walmart, and I said I hope they burn, and I got a 24-hour ban. Like, I'm not even talking about a person. Like, I wasn't even talking about a person. Like, I got a 24-hour ban for fucking sharing my hatred of Walmart. Unless so, Walmart wants to be a sponsor. while we're fishing for sponsors.
Oh yeah. But so this story, it's a big issue when we talk about privacy, we talk about issues of censorship, and you know that Facebook obviously they have ways to censor and censor everybody, and then they have separate rules for other people, and there's big problems when we talk societally about, you know, where This is just where, unfortunately, way too many of us get real information, get all of our information from. And there's a fine line there somewhere between their rules being too restrictive.
Well, it also speaks to the fears of many that there are certain rules for a certain set of society, not just on Facebook, but just rules in general of life set aside for a certain higher level of society that regular plebs like us don't get to reap the benefits of. You know, there's been recent things in the news that show a definite disconnect between the higher ups and the lowers of society. And this is just another program showing the digital version of that manifestation. So yeah, like it's messed up.
It is messed up. All right. Well, I mean, that's it for really tech news. We can quickly just reiterate the fact that Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are in an epic fight over space. And it just continues to heat up.
Dude is so salty. There's all kinds of articles. Dude is so salty.
There's all kinds of articles with Amazon, which, you know, they're not doing it without Jeff Bezos egging them to do it. But just filing all kinds of suits against the FCC to get contracts removed from Elon, talking about how the rules of for everybody else doesn't apply, that Elon's been approved for all kinds of different projects and launches and stuff like that nobody else would get approved for, and that he's submitting backup offers and he's getting approved for all those. And in the end, Elon has just pretty much told him, like, we haven't done anything wrong. They're all approved.
Elon's
sorry about
Tony
your life.
Stark.
Like, you're not going anywhere.
Bezos is Oliver Trask, bro. Like, that's how this is going. Like this is Iron Man 2 in the making, if I've ever seen it.
The best Iron Man. this argument's going to keep heating up, so we'll have plenty of opportunities to talk about it. But the story that we might not come up again for a long time is that
and the next story that leads after this is what the kids would refer to as a clapback from Elon.
All right, explain.
Well, so after Amazon slams SpaceX, Elon calls Amazon's protest of Starlink's diatribe. Like, And it just shows that the level of petty that these two billionaires have, like they're literally arguing over like the advancement of space and who gets to do that, which is another reason why I asked Neil that question, because we do stories like this all the time, and I'm shocked that a person from NASA is concerned about the pettiness involved of space advancement that we are talking about right now.
Yeah, and All these are interesting. It's not just Amazon. It's not just Elon. You have Viasat. You have OneWeb. All these other ones that are piling on, getting behind Amazon, because everybody feels that pretty much Elon has the lead, and everybody's kind of piling on. But in the what did you say the kids call it? The clapback. There's more than just what he says about Amazon, but there's a lot where they talk about, hey, you know, they submitted dozens of pages of complaints to the FCC, and none of them are founded on anything. Like, they're all just bitches and complaints is essentially what Elon says. Like, just because I'm beating you and just because I'm getting there faster than you doesn't mean that I'm doing anything wrong.
Yeah, do better. He basically just said, do better. Like, quit crying, do better. And with our next story about SpaceX, I truly have to believe that I'm pretty sure we called it, and we said that when NASA said that Bezos and Virgin Galactic, Richard Branson's space flights weren't really space flights and they took back their astronaut wings. I'm pretty sure if you check the tape, one of us said, Elon's just going to shoot three regular assholes up into space to beat them. We said, Elon's not even going to go on it. Elon's just going to shoot three regular assholes into space to be the first, you know, privatized people into space just to beat Branson and Bezos because they just like to skip off the atmosphere. Elon shot three randos into outer space.
Four. It was a billionaire and three randos. So he did shoot up. It was a four person team. It was a billionaire of some internet company that I don't remember right now. I've never even heard of it, but apparently made him billions of dollars. And his team, this whole team was centered around, they are going up. They're raising money for child cancer research. He brought up like actual scientists, like astroscientists. So they're not entirely randos. They're all pretty well trained individuals and pilots and astroscientists and geologists. But the best part is, like, you know, when Elon launches the first civilian crew, he does it for 3 days, right? Like the other ones, they go up, they get their 7 minutes of glory. No, these people stayed in orbit for 3 days before getting brought back down.
I know. And they wonder why they give the fucking space contracts to this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, Branson didn't even have a rocket. He hitched a ride on a plane and then just shot himself into the, you know, upper atmosphere. Bezos' rocket looks like a dick. That's an automatic disqualification. What if that was the only reason why they he's not getting contracts? Like, they're like, bro, we just can't. We can't justify getting in a dick rocket. Yeah. We can't.
No. That's it. You know, that's the whole contract problem there, I think.
Elon shooting four regular people into space for 3 days while everybody else is taking joy rides on the upper atmosphere. And then they come back and cry that they're going to this dude to pioneer all these space expeditions funded by tax dollars. Like, shut up, man. Just shut up.
All right.
We do have one good space guy, though.
We do. And real quick, it's just there's not much about it, but there is a new company being started by a new billionaire to compete or do something in space. But this one's an interesting one. We've got the Woz. You know, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak is starting a space company called, is it Pioneer, I think? Privateer? Something like that. And he started this space company with the sole purpose of cleaning up space debris. We'll see where this goes. I mean, in the end, like that's his main purpose is he wants to go up. I looked up on, like, you can look at the space debris tracker, and I went on that website, and you can see like the current globe and all this stuff, and it's just so much floating around that, you know, we're talking about tens of thousands of pieces of space debris large enough for NASA to like track because they're things of concern. And then, like, when the space station had their glass broken, it was by a paint chip that NASA can't even track. So the amount of space debris and the challenges to the future of our satellites, our infrastructure, our things that we're going to build out there, and I guess our military, as Neil would say, in the future when we bring war to space, all that's a big concern. Steve Wozniak, the Woz, recognizes it, and it is Privateer, is the private space company that he started with the goal of getting up there and finding a way.
Well, and like through leave it all to of the things. Like the one tech hippie, the one dude yeah. that made the billions and just went like all hippied out to be like, all right, man, I'll get in space too. But it's like the friend you bring to the beach that brings like the bag and the nail on a stick and just picks up garbage on the beach. Like everybody else is by the bonfire, pounding beers, having a good time, and this dude's just walking up and down, enjoying the sunset, picking up everybody's trash. Good for you. We need those people, man.
I was gonna say I like we that need guy.
Those people. I'm not like do not take this the wrong way. I'm not ripping on dude. Like. I feel that, dude. I got him. Like, I fully support what you're doing, Wise. Fully support it.
Me too.
I ain't going to clean it up. You go about right. your business, homie.
That's it. That's weekend news. That's all we got for you. We right, sucked so, again at speed so, round. Yeah,
No. I had
you
one
got
chambered.
One more story.
I, had one
I know.
Chambered. I told you I had a fucking chambered. Because I'm sitting here right now watching you on the Zoom fucking call. Looking at your fucking take a knee for Marvel versus DC shirt that we both won one. So we both, you know, we won the March Madness, the superhero duel. You have the new logo on your shirt. I have the old logo. Mine just has like a microphone and says take a knee on it. You got the fucking nice ass Clark Kent opening up the shirt. Like I got to hit up. Our boy, like this to me screams arch nemesis bullshit, and I don't think he thought I would ever notice.
All right, so it screams arch nemesis. What it also screams is the recognition that it was my guy that won the tournament, and you were just on my coattails.
I could possibly be. I'm just the fat ass that needs a double XL.
And he just had a bunch of double XLs.
He just had a bunch of double XLs in the old shirt and none of the new one. But I'm not giving him that benefit of the doubt. That's my arch nemesis. And I'm going to give him full credit that he planned this so one day we would be sitting right here and I would notice that I got the old shirt. To be continued, I'm going to take this up with him. Scott, right. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, asshole. I hope you hear right, well, this.
Scott, I appreciate you for listening this long and being one of our big fans. For everybody else who's listened this long, let's go ahead and just say do the things. Like, share, join the community. We're going to try to turn on some Discord stuff. I don't know. But listen to upcoming
Cantina
conversations.
Oh, and I need to ask everybody to tweet at Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, for sure.
That he said he wanted to come on the show. He was borderline offended. We haven't had him on the show. So I need everybody at every chance that they ever get to just at the Nerd Cantina, at Neil Tyson. What's up with that show, son? I need everybody to do that for me anytime they think about it.
For sure. Twitter campaign needs to get started. So that'll be the next thing. Until next week, nerds. Talk to you later.
See ya.